This is the MiG-21, the most produced jet fighter in history, and one of the longest-serving fighters in aviation. It was designed back in the 1950s as a Mach 2 frontline fighter. It became iconic for its distinctive delta wings, circular nose intake, and incredible agility. The MiG-21 embodied the Soviet air defense approach for taking on heavier Western aircraft using hit and run tactics. In this video, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the MiG-21F-13, the first major export variant of this aircraft, and the first to be equipped with air-to-air missiles, to explore how this legendary aircraft changed air combat tactics. My name is David Webb, and this is Blue Paw Print. The MiG-21 F-13 airframe was built for agility at supersonic speeds. It measured 44 feet 1.9 inches long and stood 13 feet 5.4 inches tall, weighing 12,882 pounds when empty. Its delta wings had an area of 247.6 square feet and a wingspan of 23 feet 5.7 inches. Its main counterpart, the American F-4D Phantom II, was much bigger at just over 58 foot long, and it was more than twice as heavy at a shade under 29,000 pounds. The fuselage was all metal, made from an alloy of aluminium and magnesium, with steel in the places that needed extra strength. Its semi-monocoque design struck a balance between strength and weight. The fuselage had an oval cross-section and was divided into two main sections. The forward section housed the cockpit, wings, fuel tanks, and the main landing gear, while the aft contained the engine, tail assembly, and exhaust nozzle. These two sections were divided by a disassembly joint at frame number 28 to allow engine maintenance and removal access. The front of the aircraft was recognizable due to its circular nose air intake and adjustable nose cone. Right below the intake lip was a long pitot tube that measured the aircraft's airspeed, angle of attack, and yaw. The MiG-21's delta wings were perhaps its most distinctive feature. They swept back from the fuselage at an angle of 33 degrees out to cropped tips. Structurally, each wing was built around a main spar and two secondary spars running along the leading and trailing edges. This design, along with the MiG-21's short fuselage, made it highly responsive in rolls and allowed pilots to change directions quickly. It also helped the plane pull high angles of attack, which was a key advantage for ambush tactics. Each wing had one hardpoint for external stores and housed two internal fuel cells located in front of and behind the landing gear wells. The MiG-21's quick roll rates were aided by its relatively small control surfaces, primarily the ailerons. The ailerons had a maximum deflection of 20 degrees in both directions and were operated by actuator rods powered by a booster hydraulic system. If necessary, the hydraulic boost could be switched off, although this made aileron control more difficult. The flaps located between the ailerons and the wing roots acted as secondary control surfaces. When taking off and landing, the flaps would extend to 24.5 degrees, boosting the wing's curvature and helping the aircraft lift off safely at speeds as low as 211 miles an hour. Two small wing fences were added to the wings to help manage airflow and boost aerodynamic stability. The tail section's control surfaces consisted of a vertical fin with a rudder, a set of stabilators, and a ventral fin positioned on the bottom of the fuselage. The MiG-21 F-13 had fully moving horizontal stabilators that made the controls smoother at lower speeds and allowed for a rapid climb, crucial for getting out of tricky situations during combat. The control system featured an ARU 3V module that changed how much force you needed to move the control stick, depending on how fast the plane was going and its altitude. When the plane was going slow, the controls felt lighter and easier to use. but when it was flying fast or at low altitudes, the controls got heavier to help avoid oversteering and keep the aircraft safe from excessive stress. The plane had three hydraulically operated air brakes. The front set of two air brakes were located on both sides of the lower fuselage, while the rear air brake was positioned between the fuselage pylon and the ventral fin. Additionally, the MiG-21 was fitted with a circular-shaped braking parachute housed in a heat-insulated compartment on the bottom left side of the fuselage, just in front of the ventral fin. The MiG-21 F-13 was a remarkably fast aircraft for its time. It could reach a maximum speed of 1,351 miles an hour at an altitude of 42,650 feet, the equivalent to around Mach 2.05. At sea level, its top speed was around 745 miles an hour. These high speeds were made possible by the twin-axial Tumansky R-11F-300 jet engine. The engine system consisted of a six-stage compressor with 10 separate flame tubes in the combustion chamber, a two-stage turbine, an afterburner chamber, and an adjustable exhaust nozzle. The engine had a diameter of just over 2.5 feet, measured just over 15 feet in length, and weighed 2,606 pounds. At full power, the engine operated at 11,150 rpm and delivered a maximum thrust of 8,598 pound force under standard conditions without using the afterburner. The aircraft's thrust could be increased by engaging an additional component integrated into the engine called the afterburner. The afterburner consisted of radially arranged fuel injectors positioned just behind the engine turbines. It worked by injecting fuel directly into the afterburner chamber, where it ignited upon contact with the hot exhaust gases, producing significant extra thrust. With the afterburner at minimum, the MiG-21 F-13 engine produced 10,803 pound force, while at maximum output, it generated 12,677 pound force, nearly a 50% increase over the standard thrust. The afterburner gave a significant boost in thrust, but it also used significantly more fuel, so it was mostly used for takeoff, combat, and supersonic flight situations where additional thrust was essential. Thanks to this powerful engine and the MiG-21 being relatively light, it could accelerate and climb quickly. This made it easier for pilots to take sharp turns and recover energy quickly during dogfights. The MiG-21 F-13 fuel system consisted of 7 internal fuselage fuel tanks and 4 tanks within the wings, giving a total capacity of 652 gallons. This was 5 times less than the capacity of the American F-4, which could be loaded up with 3,335 US gallons of fuel. Depending on altitude and the power setting, typical flight duration ranged from 45 minutes to an hour. But if you use the afterburner at low altitude, the aircraft could use up all its fuel in under 20 minutes. To extend the operational range, the aircraft could be equipped with an external drop tank mounted on a central fuselage pylon. An essential component in achieving maximum engine output was the air intake system, arguably the most distinctive feature of the MiG-21's design. The aircraft's primary air intake was regulated by an adjustable cone. The nose cone was hydraulically operated and had 3 positions. Fully retracted was used for speeds up to Mach 1.5. The middle position was for speeds between Mach 1.5 and 1.9, while fully extended was used for speeds above Mach 1.9. The aircraft was also equipped with 3 sets of auxiliary air intakes designed to prevent engine stall, provide additional airflow during takeoff for extra thrust, and cool down various components in the rear of the fuselage. Opposite the nose cone was an exhaust nozzle. Its adjustable design helped control the exhaust gas flow, making thrust and fuel efficiency better during different flight phases. The nozzle worked automatically. When the engine was idling or running at low RPM, the nozzle would be wide open. As the throttle increased, the nozzle contracted, reaching its smallest size at about 65 to 68% RPM. If you turned on the afterburner, the nozzle opened back up to its maximum diameter. In the event of automatic control failure, the pilot could adjust the nozzle manually, but only for two settings, fully open or fully closed. The MiG-21 F-13 weapon system consisted of a radio rangefinder, the SRD-5MK, one NR-30 cannon, and two K-13 R-3S heat-seeking missiles, which could be replaced with weapons intended for ground attacks. The MiG-21 F-13 did not have a radar in the modern sense. Instead, it had a range-only SRD-5 radar system built into the nose that couldn't search or track. There wasn't a dedicated display in the cockpit for it. It only worked with the ASP-5ND optical gun sight for aiming both the cannon and the missiles. The single NR-30 cannon was mounted on the lower right side of the front fuselage. It could fire 900 rounds per minute, but it only carried 60. Usually, only 30 rounds were loaded into the cannon, partly to make the plane lighter, but also because the cannon wasn't used in combat very often. Most enemy aircraft were shot down with missiles. The MiG-21 F-13's primary missile was the infrared homing K-13A R-3S air-to-air missile, known by its NATO reporting name, the AA-2 Atoll. This missile was a reverse-engineered version of the American AIM-9 Sidewinder, although it was less advanced. The missile was equipped with a 25-pound blast fragmentation warhead and had a range of 0.6 to 4.7 miles. However, it did have a major drawback, which was reduced infrared sensitivity. The MiG-21's cockpit was designed for a single pilot. Compared to Western aircraft, it was relatively modest, reflecting the Soviet emphasis on simplicity and efficiency, typical of their early fighter design. The main instrument panel was vertical and quite deep, housing the primary flight instruments, including an artificial horizon, altimeter, airspeed Mach indicator, fuel gauge, engine RPM gauge, and various indicator and warning lights. Additional switches and controls lined both sides of the cockpit, some grouped together based on function, and many of them in hard-to-reach locations. Pilots needed a lot of training to remember where everything was and what each control did. Unlike the cockpits in later versions that were painted in a light turquoise color to reduce pilot fatigue and improve visibility, the F-13s were painted in shades of gray. The throttle lever was mounted on the left-hand side alongside various in-flight controls. The control stick was in the center and was equipped with a cannon trigger, missile launch button, gyro sight damper, stabilizer trim control, and a brake lever. If the pilot needed to fire, he could use the MiG-21's ASP-5ND optical gyro-stabilized computing gun sight. This calculated the necessary lead and adjusted the aim. The data was then projected onto a head-up display via a transparent glass panel in front of the pilot. The ASP-5ND operated in different modes, including a gyro-stabilized mode for dynamic targeting and a fixed mode for simpler aiming scenarios. The cockpit was pressurized and sealed with a bubble canopy that opened forward and had two glass panes. The main pane was a thick 0.4 inches of convex acrylic heat-resistant glass, and the flat front pane was a 0.57 inch thick silicate triplex. The fixed windscreen underneath the canopy was made of armored triplex and was 2.44 inches thick. Altogether, the canopy weighed around 126 pounds. An interesting feature of the canopy is that it was designed to protect the pilot during an emergency ejection. If a pilot needed to escape the aircraft quickly, the canopy attached itself to the ejection seat and created a capsule that shielded the pilot from the high-speed airflow. The ejection seat could be operated by pressing either of the handles located on each side of the seat. Before firing up the engine, the pilot had to complete an extensive checklist to make sure that everything in the plane was set up correctly. This included checking cockpit switches, electrical systems, pneumatic systems, hydraulic systems, and fuel systems, as well as making sure the flight control surfaces were moving freely and correctly. Once the checklist was done, the pilot started the engine by moving the throttle from the stop to the idle position and pressing the starter button for 2 to 3 seconds. After engine startup, the pilot would confirm that all engine systems were working properly and then signal to the mechanic to disconnect ground power. Next, the pilot would close and lock the canopy, test the stick for full movement, and check the pitch trim, air brakes, flaps, and his G-suit. Once the pilot was ready, he had to taxi the aircraft to the runway. On the runway, he'd move the throttle fully forward and release the brakes, while holding the stick firmly in the center. When he reached speeds of around 124 miles an hour, he would pull back the stick two-thirds to raise the nose approximately 9 degrees. When the aircraft reached speeds of between 200 and 220 miles an hour, the plane would lift off. Under normal conditions, the aircraft would start climbing at an indicated airspeed of 430 miles an hour, accelerating gradually to its true airspeed of over 580 miles an hour. In order to climb rapidly, the pilot could accelerate to 620 miles an hour immediately after takeoff, and the aircraft could reach a height of 33,000 feet in just a couple of minutes. If the pilot needed to go supersonic, he'd engage the afterburner. As the plane accelerated through transonic speeds, around Mach 0.8 to Mach 1.2, the inlet cone would automatically adjust to manage the shock waves and keep the airflow into the engine optimal. After reaching Mach 1.8, the pilot would start climbing to an altitude of 59,000 feet. The MiG-21 F-13 service ceiling was 62,335 feet. The MiG-21 F-13 first saw serious action during the Vietnam War, where it was used against American aircraft, participating in Operation Rolling Thunder. The first time the MiG-21 F-13 saw action in North Vietnam was on March 6, 1966. At first, the North Vietnamese MiG-21 pilots engaged enemy aircraft in traditional dogfights, like they'd been doing with the planes they were flying previously, the MiG-17. But that style didn't really fit the MiG-21's strengths, so the North Vietnamese pilots adopted a new approach. This method became known as the ambush tactic. Guided by ground-based radar, two MiG-21s would attack in coordination with another MiG-21, trailing 2 to 3 miles behind. The first two MiG-21s would approach an enemy formation, acting as bait. Once the enemy fighters engaged in pursuit, the third MiG-21 joined the fight by climbing rapidly from a lower altitude. Its pilot would position the aircraft on the enemy's tail and engage it the moment the target was locked. The MiG-21's small frontal profile made it difficult to detect, giving enemy pilots very little time to react. Because the American F-4s had their radars mounted in the nose cone, it was practically invisible for them to spot any MiG-21 that may swing in from behind. Captain Frederick S. Olmsted Jr., who fought North Vietnamese MiG-21s, noted that they were very fast, very nimble, and a very capable adversary. So we were very aware of what the MiG-21 could do if you were not careful. The success of MiG-21s in battles against American aircraft forced the United States to rethink its approach to aerial combat and how it trained its crews. When coming into land, the pilot needed to descend to 1,640 feet and slow to around 280 miles an hour before putting the landing gear down. When close to the runway, the pilot would initiate a flare by raising the nose by 10 degrees to reduce the descent rate. With the nose pulled up, the pilot would have no forward visibility and would have to estimate his altitude by looking around to his sides. By the time he landed, the plane would have slowed to between 160 and 170 miles an hour. After touchdown, the pilot would apply his wheel brakes gently to avoid excessive pressure. If he deployed his drag chute, that would slow the plane more quickly and it would significantly shorten the landing distance. Once the aircraft slowed enough, the pilot would disengage the nose wheel brake so he could turn the aircraft while taxiing. Once the aircraft was back in position, the engine would be shut down by pulling the throttle lever back to the stock position. When it was introduced, the MiG-21 represented the peak of Soviet military aviation technology and was on par with its Western counterparts. However, the MiG-21 became outdated as newer aircraft emerged, largely due to limitations caused by its small size that limited radar upgrades, fuel capacity, and payload capabilities. Despite these drawbacks, the MiG-21 remained popular for smaller air forces due to its simplicity, affordability, and ease of maintenance. It demonstrated that the right tactics could provide a significant advantage, even to less technologically advanced aircraft. This made the MiG-21 ideal for countries with limited budgets or other political constraints. Apart from the Vietnam War, the MiG-21 has seen service in many other conflicts across the globe, from the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis over the Indo-Pakistani War, and a series of Middle Eastern conflicts, to even the most recent military engagements. If you want to find out about the futuristic Nazi jet fighter, the Horten H-0229, then please watch this film. Thanks for watching. Breaking down such a complex machine for a film like this was a challenge. We had to leave out some details, and if you spot any errors or there's something you'd like to add, please let us know in the comments.